here's my question for you. Which trailer stirred your heart more? All right, so let's see a hands for Sense and Sensibility. Any of you? Raise up high, really high. So we, okay. All right, so there's four of you. And how many of you were stirred by Real Steel? All right. That's really funny. We had last... It must be the crowd. Last hour, let's go ahead and pull the lights up. Last hour we had, it was pretty split, you know, women on one side of the trailer issue and men on the other. Welcome. I'm glad you're here with us this morning. The reason why I showed you those trailers is because I wanted to talk a little bit about story at the beginning today. Life kind of comes to us like as a story, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about your last week, Don't you kind of see scenes rolling by in your mind? Moments, scenes, you said some lines were said to you, you had some experiences. Life comes to us like a story, and so story captures us. I mean, I could read to you some information. You know, you get out the dictionary. I was going to do that this morning, but I don't want to spend the time, but just start reading to you from the dictionary. How would that go? Right? Information by itself just doesn't connect. Jesus is the master communicator. And he knows that when Jesus wanted to communicate deep truth, when he wanted to describe himself, he used pictures and story. So, I'm like a farmer who went out to plant my field, but then I cast seed, and some birds came and they took some of that seed. See that? Or I'm like a shepherd, and I've got this huge flock, but one of my sheep's missing. I'm gonna search for him, and he searches night and day to find him, and finally finds him, and he rejoices. More happy and excited about this one sheep than all the whole flock put together. I'm like a father whose son didn't want to stay home anymore. He decided to take his inheritance and go blow it on hookers in Vegas. Why did Jesus use story so much? Because he knows that story captures not only our head, but our heart as well. So we are in a series called I Am, where we're looking at the different pictures, stories that Jesus used to, that God uses to describe himself, these different word pictures that he uses, because to know him is to what? Love him. But the problem is, there's a lot of confusion about what God is like in the world and in the church. And so it's hard to love him if the picture you have isn't very lovable. We've all been given different pictures of God. The media has pictures of him. Hollywood has pictures of him. But what's he really like? And today we're talking about Jesus saying, I am the vine. And Jesus gives us a picture of a vine. And let me set the page for you, the scene for you. Jesus is in an upstairs room with his 12 disciples. And they're there and they have just eaten the Passover meal. Do you guys know, who knows what the Passover meal was about? It was a yearly celebration they did. What's it about? Okay, so back in the time of Moses, 1,500 years before Jesus, the children of Israel were enslaved by this dark lord, Saruman. And so God says, well, let my people go. He wouldn't let him go. So he's like, okay, take the blood of a spotless lamb, put it over your doorposts so that my wrath will pass by you, but it will come against those who are attacking my people. So it's Passover. And then Jesus knew very soon he was going to shed his own blood, the spotless lamb. Isn't it amazing? 1,500 years. How he loves pictures and story. He created story 1,500 years before just so he could make it clear what he was doing by shedding his own blood to make a way for us to forgive us of our sins, to save us from the wrath. And so they're celebrating this Passover and they're talking about it, and Jesus, I think, Jesus reaches up on the table and he pulls a big cluster of grapes. And he says, guys, I'm the true vine. And you're like this branch filled with grapes. And unless you abide in me, you're not going to bear any fruit. Let's read it together. It's from John 15. Jesus says, now picture him around the table. Guys, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. What's a vine dresser? The guys that make the little clothes for the vines? What'd you say? Oh, the guys who trim, people who trim the vine, keep the, prune it back, okay? He's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. What does that mean? And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Okay, so for a branch on a grapevine, I have a little PowerPoint illustration to help you, just in case you didn't know which was the branch and what was the vine. What is Jesus saying? We're just talking horticulture right now. What is Jesus saying for a branch to bear fruit? What relationship does it have to have with this vine? Huh? It has to be attached, connected. It draws something from. What's it drawing from it? Life. Nourishment. Oh, this is good. Give me more. What else is it drawn from it? Some of you scientists. Water. Nutrients. Oh, this is better than last hour. What else? I'm absolutely convinced that third hour is smarter than second hour. Yeah. Somebody else? What else is it drawing? Huh? Light. Okay. You know more about science than I do. But maybe. Is it sending anything back? It's sending the light back. Photosynthesizing and sending it back. Interesting. I wonder how to apply that. So, because I think God has made himself vulnerable to us and dependent on us in some ways. I think he has chosen the vulnerability of a heart that longs for us. But, that's not what we're talking about this morning. Maybe it is. I am the vine, you are the branches. And Jesus says, he who abides in me, what does abiding mean for it? It means nutrients, it means, and so that's with grapes. Let me give you the life-giving fruit producing sap goes right through there to make the branch work. Jesus isn't really talking about grapes, is he? What's he talking about? Us. In what way is Jesus, before we go there, what happens, as long as this point is in good shape, all is well. As long as this abiding place is healthy, this good stuff that's needed can get up in here and go down and make this. But if a bird comes and chews here, or some insects come in, then what happens to the, you get that? Okay? So Jesus isn't talking about grapes, he's talking about, this is me, this is you, and there's this abiding point, this life-giving fruit-producing sap that goes through this abiding point. What is that? What does it mean to abide in Him in your life? He says, unless you abide in Me and I in you, you will produce no fruit. But if you do abide in Me, you will produce fruit. So, abiding in Jesus as the vine, what does it really mean? What is Jesus saying about relating to Him? You need to stay connected. Okay? What does that mean? What'd you say? Learn from Him. Alice, what'd you say? You got to spend time with Him. Okay? Trusting Him, resting in Him. How do you rest in Him? Be still and know that I am God. Right. No. It's if I'm abiding in Him, I should be able to see fruit. That's really good. Okay. I think that what Jesus is saying here is this abiding point, this connecting point, we need to protect at all costs. He's saying, if you stay plugged in with Me, you will be healthy and you will bear fruit. But if you don't, you will wither and there won't be any fruit following your life. Here's my question. We have a lot of godly people in this room right now, so I want to ask you for answers. If you stay plugged into Me, you will be healthy and bear fruit. If you don't, you will wither. Have you found that to be true? How? Explain how you've experienced abiding equaling health and fruit and not abiding equaling withering in your life. Have you experienced that? Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Let's narrow down the question a little bit. What's it been like for you to experience abiding? What have you enjoyed from that? How do you experience that? When you're abiding, what's life like? I feel peace. Joy. More. Huh? What? Okay. Huh? All we like sheep have gone astray. I mean, isn't it true? I mean, those times when you've connected with the Lord, you just feel different. You just have this sense of hope, peace, love, connection, life, relationships are better. I mean, what else? I'm going to shut up. Your turn. What else? What have you experienced when you've abided and it's been bearing fruit? Yeah. But when you're abiding, do you feel like that helps?
Well, yeah, when I'm actually
Yeah. Is he the vine? I mean, it's obvious the answer is yes, but is he really? Was he telling the truth? Do you believe that? What have you experienced when you haven't been abiding? Have you noticed the downside? Have you noticed the non-abiding world? What's that like for you? Empty. Huh. Yeah. Critical, resentful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm stressed out. I'm angry guy when I walk into the house at night. You know, I want to just be by myself. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I never ask a question without having my own answer. So, My answer is, when I'm not abiding, you guys have said all these, I'm withering in my identity. It's really interesting. A couple of days without connecting with the Lord, really connecting with the Lord, my identity comes under attack first. And I just feel like major disappointment. I just feel like I'm a loser. And so that's a big one. I think I also wither in my relationships. It seems like I don't have the resources to handle a relational tension when I'm not abiding, and so the relational tension wins instead of me having the strength and resource to move in with love because I'm filled up by Him. I also notice that I'm withering in my love for others. Pretty much, you can just do fine on your own and just stay out of my hair is where I go. And certainly my passion for ministry begins to wither. And okay, here, next question, again, asking you, how have you learned to successfully abide personally? How have you learned to do it? Like, it's really nice to say, yeah, we need to abide in Christ. But we're busy. Like, you got to pick up your kids at soccer. You got to do your bills. You've got to go to work. You got to do ministry things at church. You know, all these things that you've got going on. How has anyone here actually successfully learned how to abide and could tell us how? Anyone? Okay, let me rephrase that. Has anybody come on with some really good idea that they've learned or had a taste of a good, abiding stretch? Like, drop the bar here a little bit. What have you done? How's it work? Hmm. That's good. That's good. Community and fellowship is a huge way that God dwells in that. Very good. Yeah. Explain. Early detection, he said. Okay, I gotta ask, what are the symptoms that you notice? So early detection, you've learned to do something. What do you do? Okay. Spend some time with them, talking with them. Cool. Anybody else? Yes. Alice in the back. Hmm. good. That's huge. Yeah. Karen. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting that Jesus talked about these people with these talents. One talent, two talents, five talents. And the one buried his talent, and the other two went out and took risks and lived on the edge and invested, and he was like, well done. The guy who buried it and didn't live with risk, he wasn't very happy with that guy. Yeah. Is that what you were kind of trying to say earlier? I mean, when he was talking, I'm like, that's what you were after with the fruit. Well, what's interesting is, like, what I'm hearing you saying in this is, like, abiding, really keeping this channel open requires you to be producing. You got to be pouring out, too. Because if you're not pouring out, it gets clogged up or something. I don't know. At least that's what I was hearing you kind of saying. It's like when I'm sharing it, then it's like flowing. But when I'm just, you know, just mean, you know, then it's not. I agree. I think that's very true. Again, third service smarter than every other service. Okay. Of course, I never ask a question without having my own list. So here's my list of answers. I just thought first of all, when I ask myself, okay, how do I abide? And the first and foremost thing is, I think I have had to come to a place where I believe that it's the only way. I had to come to a place where I'm like, I believe that connecting with God will deliver the life that I long for. And a lot of people don't believe that connecting with God will deliver that life. And so if you don't believe it's going to deliver life, you really just won't waste your time. You won't go there. Everything else, to the degree that you believe it will deliver life, is the degree that you'll pursue it. And I think I've come kind of like one of you said, maybe it was Karen, the more risk for Christ that I've lived, the more toast I am if I don't abide. Does that make sense? Should I say that differently? If I don't abide, I'm toast. My life's going to be fried if I don't connect with God, if I don't get that time. The second thing I've learned is I need to set a time every day to spend time with God. Now, we can talk to God all the way through the day. We can, and that's what pray without ceasing. That's what Scripture teaches us. But Jesus got up early in the morning and went out and spent an hour, 2 hours with his Father. He stayed up late at night. And for me, I have to set the time. If I don't, it's like what Alice is saying. If I don't set the time to spend time with God, and if it's not the same time pretty much every day, somebody else is going to set the time, and it's not going to be to spend time with God. It's going to be to do something else. If I have a when I get around to it perspective about time with God, how does that go? Yeah, forget it. You're going to get around to it once a week if you're lucky. You just won't. But if I have a time set, it will work. And so I have to have a time. And then I've also found that I have to have a place, and I have to have a plan. And the place is really interesting. I go to the theater in Monroe and walk around. You guys know that. I've shared that a million times. And walk around the trails there and just spend time with the Lord when I go. Or I sit in the car if it's raining and seek the Lord there. But it's like when I drive into the parking lot, my brain goes into the cone of silence. If you guys, some of you old enough to remember Get Smart. Like da 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 da. What? How's that? I can't remember how it goes. But him and the commissioner go into this room, and this like metal cone comes down. The chief, and they're like talking, you know, and it's been a long time, but I remember the cone, you know, and it's like that's where they can have a conversation. Now they can maybe call each other or talk, you know, along the way, but that's where they really get down to business. And it's like I drive into the theater. And I park the car, and it's like, you know, when you have a place, your brain, your heart just is ready to get with God. It's like you having that place, and that's always where you and God meet. It's like somehow it programs your mind to connect with God. And that's where you slug it out. That's where you wrestle with, I need to hear from you, and I'm not hearing. And that's where you wrestle with, you know, what's going on? And Lord, I love you. I praise you. You know, that's where you do that. Another thing that I've learned is I need a plan. And my friend Matt Price, many of you know, he was telling me a couple months ago, he said, Randy, it's like now, like the first half hour of my time with God is like all worship. I just sing worship songs to him. And I didn't really do that. And so I started doing it. I got some worship CDs and stuff. And man, it works. It's like really... Can I give you a great tip? Do like 10, 20, 30 minutes of worship songs. Sing with it. Pour your heart out to God. It's like the pipeline between you and God that gets clogged. It's just like, it's just cleared out, wide open when you worship first, just like we did here. So if you spend time with God in the car, get an iPod. You know, this is your reason to buy an iPod. Okay, so you can have good time with the Lord. You heard it here. A time, a place, and a plan. And then the last one I want to suggest to you is discipline. I have to have discipline to do it. I find that I typically don't want to spend time with God when I find that it's like it's 7 a.m. I want to sleep. It's 7 a.m. and I get to the theater, and, you know, all I can think about is the 65 things that I have to do, and I want to spend my time that should be time with the Lord working on my talk. Or, you know, and you're like, well, isn't that like spending time with God? No, it's not. But it can be a lame substitute for me, being a pastor. And so that discipline, no, I'm going to do this. Now, I can also say this. Every time I do, I walk away going, that was awesome. Or, you know, every time. Not every quiet time is awesome, but I'm always glad. I'm always connected. I always feel, you know, as long as I'm willing to work through this stuff, it, you know, 100 times better. If I do this, if I meet with him and tap in, I bear fruit. And I may not pray for one person during that time. It may just be me pouring out my heart to God about whatever's going on with my struggle about XYZ. It doesn't matter. But when I do that, I come away always wanting to give to others. It's weird. I know. I'll go in to the theater. I was like, I don't care about church, ministry, people. They're a pain in the rear, you know, and God, I'm really struggling with Debbie, you know? Why won't she love me more? Or whatever it is, you know? And I'm like, and I'm praying, and then, you know, I'm there for an hour, and I'm driving out going, wow, I wonder how so-and-so's doing. I really love Jeff, and, you know, and all these, you know, it's like I'm changed. And I want to pour out. And Jesus talked about that. It's like, I'm this well. If you have a relationship with me, you become a well that bubbles over. Okay. A couple more thoughts. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were in the desert, God, He loves pictures again. He had this food that He made for them. Do you know what it was? You know the name of it? Manna. And it was like the stuff that would be on the ground in the morning, and they would take it and they'd put it. I wonder what it was like. Like maybe it was a grainy kind of thing, but they would put it and they would grind it like wheat, and they would make cakes with it and stuff, and they would eat it. And then, do you remember what would happen if they tried to store it overnight? It would get rotten and moldy. And I think God was trying to teach them, because He loves pictures and He's such a wonderful communicator, that yesterday's manna will not satisfy you today. Which requires of us to seek the Lord and connect and abide every day. And I don't know about you, but 2 days without, things aren't happy at home. 3 days without, I'm doing online Boeing employee resumes. You know, 4 days without, and I need to come and confess to you why I shouldn't be a pastor at the church anymore. So my point is, I wither. And I need it every day. So do you. So my kind of question for you at the end here, after one more clip. We'll do the clip first, and I'll tell you the question. This is great. A great clip for this topic.
That's the one thing. That's the thing that I figure out.
Do you like my editing? All right, so Jesus is saying, will you make me your one thing? That's what He means. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the one thing. I'm your one thing. I just want to share with you just a couple more things about a plan. One of the things that I do when I get to the theater and go for a walk is I pull out this card. I don't really have to look at it anymore because I kind of got it memorized. But I have these available for you in the back. They're on the soundboard. You can take them. And they're made like a bookmark. But this is what's called the daily prayer. Let's go and bring the lights up. And basically it's just a prayer that you pray to the Lord, and the words aren't what's important, it's what the thing's saying. The first paragraph is just surrender. Jesus, I give you my life back. I give you my body. I give you my mind. I give you my heart. I give everything. You might be like, I don't know how to pray. Get one of these. It's awesome. It'll teach you to pray. So it's just starting with surrender. I give myself back to you, Lord. I give you everything. I give you my allegiance. I give you my mouth. I'll speak for you if you want. So there's surrender. And then the next step is, Lord, is there anything in my life that's not pleasing to you? Would you reveal it? And then you shut up and listen. And He says, you were a jerk to your daughter. And then you go, okay. What do you want me to do with that? I want you to go ask her forgiveness. Okay, I will. And then I always go, Lord, I repent. Am I forgiven? And I wait until I hear him say, you're clean. I am anyway. The Bible's clear. It's past, present, and future, but I want to hear it. And so then the next paragraph is about the crucifixion. Did you know you're one with Jesus in the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension if you've given your life to him? And so the next three paragraphs are, Lord, I receive your crucifixion. I receive that I'm dead to my old self and that I'm made clean by your blood. And that's a whole paragraph on that. I receive it now. I let it be true. I'm clean. And then the resurrection. I'm one with you in the resurrection. I receive now that I am also raised again. I am a new creation. I'm a new man. I'm a child of God now. The things that you told me about myself are true. And that's a lot better. Receiving the resurrection and taking my place in the resurrection is a lot better than you're a disappointment, which is what I typically will go to when I'm withering. And then the last one is the ascension. We're one with Jesus in the ascension, therefore we have authority over the enemy. And so I'll go, okay, Lord, I receive that I'm one with you in the ascension. I have authority over the enemy. Lord, is there any demonic power messing with me right now? And I'll listen. And I a lot of times will just hear a word. When I say hear, I just have the thought deep in my mind of desolation. And I'm like, you know, I really feel like desolation has been what's going on. Everything seems like it's falling apart. Everybody's sick. I'm agreeing with it's all bad. And then I'll, okay, I take my place in the authority of Jesus Christ. I am one with him in his ascension. By the way, this walks you through this. I, in the name of Jesus Christ, command any demon that's trying to deliver desolation, I command you to leave. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to go in his name. Anything else, Lord? I sometimes have a long list. Fear, doubt, you know, all these things. And I'll reject them, renounce them, command them to leave. Because there's demons in the world. And so this has how to stand against them. And then the rest of it is, Holy Spirit, take over. Okay? So I walk through this. I've been doing it for 10 years. I don't look at this anymore because I know all the paragraphs just like I just did with you. I didn't look at it. But it's awesome. The other thing that's back there for you is what I call Randy's Pretty Good Striver's Guide to Abiding. Okay? and so what it is I was praying one time asking the Lord how to abide a couple of years ago. And I was frustrated, and I'm like, Lord, how do I abide? You're telling me to abide in you. I'm frustrated. How do I do it? Can you give me a step-by-step plan? And all I can tell you is, boom, 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 boom. I mean, it came like a step-by-step plan. And that step-by-step plan looks like this. He said, breathe. Just take a breath. He said, two, recognize nothing that really matters can be done by you in your own strength. Listen. Center yourself on my heart and my will for the moment in the situation. Realize you can't lose anything while abiding in me that I have not first ordained for you to lose. And that one's a big one because it's like, I just have to let go of holding on. Yeah, but freedom when you do. He knows what he's talking about. And I mean, these things came to my mind like you're seeing them here. It was weird. Enjoy the fact that you find yourself in such good hands. Do you believe that? Most people don't really, that the hands of the Lord are good and that they can trust him. Notice, I have not said to do anything yet. I think this one was just for me. Don't ask, what do I do? But rather ask, how does what I want to do or I'm tempted to do here keep me safe, please people, worship approval, or merely tell someone what they want to hear? Understand, by doing that, you are striving and not abiding in me. And then trust, whatever I may move you to do or not do is truly the wisest and safest plan for your life. Truly, if I tell you to do it, even if it's go to Madagascar to be a missionary, okay? Most people are terrified that it's not the best plan, the wisest and safest plan. God's plan is not the wisest because God's going to kill you So you can't trust him. He's going to send you to China. Well, if he sends you to China, can you agree that it's the wisest, safest plan for you? I don't know if I... this is too much. You know, okay, that's just... it's important for you to understand. That's where you're at. And then obey. If I don't speak, do nothing. That's my hardest one. That's striver's hard. I'm a striveaholic. And that's the toughest one. Because when I want to, you know... striving's my hope and my salvation is striving, because I can make it happen. And so, all right. So those resources are available for you. And here's my last question: is how have you been doing with abiding in Christ lately? Awesome. I'm going to just let you... you know what? I've been doing a lot of interaction, so thank you. And I know there's two or three people ready to raise their hand. I just want to... let's just hold this one inside for just you right now. Just look at your heart. How you been doing abiding? Have you been? Have you been tapping in? Have you been connecting with that sap? Have you been making him, you know, your one thing? And just a question to spend with the Lord. We're just going to spend a couple minutes. God, how do you want me to live differently? Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. So let me pray. And let's just go before the Lord. We're just going to give you a minute of silence here, a couple minutes of silence. God, speak to me. How do you want me to live differently? Mm-hmm.